So I want to talk tonight about prayer, because one of the things that we lack as Christians is a prayer life. If I were to go around the room and we would ask how many minutes of the day do you actually spend in prayer, you might be embarrassed. Might even have to cross your fingers behind your back and tell a lie. But we need to be men and women of prayer, especially in this hour. Prayer is how God communicates with us. Time and time again, the Scripture says that God desires us to pray. It could be argued that thoughts towards God are prayer. That we talk to God whenever we're in trouble, or we talk to God whenever we need an answer. God, could you help me find my car keys so I could get to work on time? That's a prayer. But it's not very much of a prayer, is it? And so I want to look tonight in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. E.M. Bounds makes this quote. He says from his book of prayer, "Prayer is no petty duty, but put into a corner, no piecemeal performance made out of the fragments of time which have been snatched from business and other engagements of life. But it means that the best of our time, the heart of our time and strength must be given." If we're to see what we're all praying for, how many know we're in an area of impossibility right now? We've crossed the line to from possible to the impossible. We've gone too far. Nobody can rescue us. We're in the deep end, and the only one that can pull us out is Jesus.
Amen.
And so we activate that occurrence by our prayers, by our godliness, by our... John Bunyan said, "Prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer." So prayer is so very important. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, if you're there with me, Matthew 6, 5, reading out of the New King James. "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." So I want to look at a couple things tonight. Number one, I want to look at when you pray, not if. You notice it say, if you pray. If you're praying, by the way, Jesus said, when you pray. So number one, when you pray, do not be hypocritical, it says. Public prayer without a private foundation is a house built on sand. So many times we have a prayer life. It happens on Sunday morning and on Wednesday night and at mealtime. That's our prayer life. But God wants consistency. If all of our prayer life is built just on a foundation of no private foundation, we are building our house on sand, both corporately and individually. So it remains, and it could be argued, we have ordinances in the church. Our ordinances are water baptism and communion. Most Christian churches, evangelical Christian churches, in their constitution and bylaws, the ordinances of the church are, we believe you should be water baptized. It's not necessary for salvation, but out of obedience. And we should take communion, and we do that religiously once a month. That may change in the very near future. I'm praying about having communion available at every service. I did that for a while in church in Philadelphia. For about a year and a half, we had communion every Sunday. And if you felt like taking communion, you could. You didn't have to. It was over towards its side, and people would go over there and pray and dance and sing, and it was all kinds of neat stuff happened out of that. But anyway, I don't want to chase that rabbit too far. Drawing attention to yourself in prayer is not godly prayer, but worldly showboating. You know, I always laugh when we get together with a group of people. There's some that like to preach pray. I call it preach praying. They go into a whole message and then they pray as if God needs our information. No, we're giving the information for everybody else. By the way, did you guys hear, in prayer, God, today that I was on. No, we need to pray because we're praying to the God that knows everything. He doesn't need the information. He just needs our request that he might answer. Secondly, it says, when you pray, go into your room. Everyone must have a secret place that he goes to pray. If you've got sloppy like me, shore the thing up. Find a place in your home, find a place in your garage, find a place and go and pray. It should be a holy place. It should be a place just where there are no distractions. Come on, somebody. Don't put the TV on mute and pray for 5 minutes and then stick the thing back on. See, everyone must have a secret place. The scripture says when you go into the secret place, God will hear you in that secret place. God hides, B, under number two. God hides from the public place. He abides in the secret place where he welcomes those who seek him. And so we can condemn, we can walk in condemnation and say, I've never been a very good prayer. Well, change that. You can talk, can't you? So if you can talk, you can pray. And so that which is prayed in the secret place is worked out in the public existence of the righteous believer. God will reward us openly for our prayers. And what we're praying for, of course, is revival and souls. And God is all about that. Thirdly, Jesus said, when you pray, do not repeat the words, pray from the heart. Canned prayers are nice, but canned prayers are just that. They're canned prayers. Praying as if we really mean it from our heart and praying. Get a list of how you're going to pray. It's okay to write a list down. You might want to start out with praise and worship. And then you go to intercession. You pray for Aunt Katie and Uncle Ted and, pray for the dog's tumor or something like that. You're going down the line now and you're praying and then be led of the Spirit of God, because sometimes the Spirit of God will have you pray something you hadn't planned, but get some kind of thing down in writing. I encourage you to get it, some kind of a prayer journal. If you can't do the journal and you're modern like me, put the prayer journal on here so you can talk into it. Now, I've got this fancy thing and I can talk my stuff in it. It records it. Everything begins and ends with prayer. Prayer must be the pass key in the morning and the lock at night. Prayerlessness is godlessness. Prayerlessness is without a doubt the ultimate sin one can commit. Of all the sins that we commit, it's having no communication with God. I had a conversation with my wife. This is Wednesday, so we talk on Wednesday and we talk on Sunday. Any other time, we just kind of pass, we're two ships passing in the night. That's not true. That's not true. But that's how we treat God sometimes. God, I'll talk to you on Sunday morning when I have some time. I've set aside 2 whole hours for you. I'll have you know that. And on Wednesday night, if you come out on Wednesday night. The idea for this thing called prayer did not originate with man. We didn't come up with this way of communicating with God. It was a command from God. The law of first mention in the scriptures. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. And we'll begin a few verses before that. Let me find it in my Bible here so we get the gist of what's going on. Genesis 20. But Abimelech, verse 4, had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this. And God said to him in a dream, yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her, Abraham's wife. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you will surely die, you and all who are yours. And so God said he'll pray. Who is he praying to? He's praying to the Lord. Prayer was expected from man to God. God identified Abraham as a prophet, and he stated that Abraham's prayer would save Abimelech. So the prayer shows us these things. Number one, prayer was expected from man to God. Number two, prayer was seen as a way to speak to God about others. Prayer was the way God moved in either blessing or destruction, and prayer was a responsibility from the very beginning. I venture to guess that none of us in this room are serving God because of nobody praying for you. Somebody prayed you into the kingdom. Somebody prayed for you on a consistent basis, prayed you in. It was either a parent, a grandparent, a friend, a relative of some kind that was praying, and God answered prayer and drew you by His Holy Spirit. Turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Misunderstood passage of Scripture. Let's shed a little light on it tonight. James 5, 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. What a powerful example of what prayer will do. And I think we lack our astuteness in prayer, just like we do on voting. You know, the last presidential election, 23% of the nation of Christians went out to vote. 23%. And then we complain. We don't want that guy in office. We don't think he's right. Well, you lazy thing, go vote.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. And I think that we might be a problem in our generation. We approach prayer the same way. We're not astute. We're not studious. We're not a regular praying people, because God will answer prayers. If He answered Elijah's prayer, come on, Elijah wasn't Mr. Perfect. Elijah went to, 40 days into the wilderness and ended up in a cave and didn't want to do anything for God. He says, I want to stay here. I'm the only man that hasn't bowed his knee to Baal. I'm the only person. God said, no, I got 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee. You get up and go do what you're supposed to do. So Elijah had his weaknesses, but when he prayed, God responded. We need to pray in faith. When we pray, we intercede. God's going to answer the prayer. God is going to answer the prayer. I was encouraged the other day by someone. They said, write it down. Make a declaration of your prayer that you're believing for. James was a man that was given the name Old Camel Knees by the early church, because he could be found on his knees praying more often than any other thing he did during his waking hours. Anytime you caught James, he was on his knees praying somewhere. They called him Camel Knees. So he lived what he talked about. He lived what he preached. James states that prayer is powerful, number one. Prayer deesis is a particular form of prayer that is pointed and for particular needs, a stance of intercession before our Creator. How effective could it be if we begin to pray for our leaders instead of complain about them? Shooting scripture out on social media or shooting scripture between one another is not going to do anything but get the hair up on the back of our neck. But when we pray and when we ask God to intercede, God is going to answer the prayer. That's why He designed it so. Come on, somebody. When we enunciate clearly to God, God is ready to answer that prayer. It was the kind of petition brought before kings and is now being spoken as a type of prayer brought before the Almighty King, which all are qualified to do because we are children of God. God welcomes our prayer. We don't demand Him, but we speak with authority in prayer. I don't know why God activates His power through our prayers, but He does. And I think, just, I'm simple enough to believe, if we don't pray, God is not obligated to answer anything. Because He's a God that is not going to lie. He's not going to change the rules in the middle of the stream. He left us with authority on this earth. And God's not going to do and surpass and bypass us to get the job done. We often wonder, why is God delaying? Why has it been 2,000 years? I'd like to think that It's because we have been thick-skulled and not asking God to intervene. I said it before, I'll say it again. If we ever got together like we're supposed to and pray and ask God to move, we could wrap this whole thing up in about 6 weeks. 6 weeks from now, we'd be in glory going, hallelujah. Pass the Holy Ghost baked beans.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. If we ever got it together, there's a lot of Christians on this globe. 1.6 billion, somebody's estimate is. How many know if we just all prayed, if heaven was barraged by even a half a billion prayer warriors consistently crying out to God? We talk about prayer a lot. We do a lot of things about prayer, but do we actually spend the time calling on God? He tells us to pray. When you pray in Matthew 6, the prayer of the righteous, number 2, is as powerful as the God we pray to. When we pray, it carries as much power as God Himself. Say, well, come on now, that can't be that. Yes, that's that powerful. When we pray, God activates His power through our prayers.
Hallelujah.
Elijah said, I don't want it to rain. It's not going to rain no more. And God said, okay, it's not going to rain. Boom. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. Somebody said, Elijah, please pray again. Please, won't you pray just one more time? Please, Elijah. And Elijah prayed and it rained. Just a man, just like you and I, put his pants on the same as we do. He was the same kind of person. But he understood the power of prayer and the unlocking of heaven. It becomes something that God is more than willing to pour out on our generation.
Glory.
Prayer is able to accomplish much more than we first thought. It should accent on the impossible. God is ready to do the impossible. Leonard Ravenhill, a great guy. If you can read anything by a couple books that I suggest you read, Oldies But Goodies, Meat for Men, you can read that. Why Revival Tarries, you can get those on Kindle for about $5. They're worth every word that you read. Watch out now. If you get the book Why Revival Tarries, you'd be crying most of the time you read the book. But he understood something. What? Tarries. T-A-R-R-I-E-S, Terry's. Why Revival Terry's, Leonard Ravenhill. He's now with Jesus. But boy, what a powerful, powerful man of God. He said this, one might estimate the weight of the world, tell the size of the celestial city, count the stars of heaven, measure the speed of lightning, and tell the time of the rising and the setting of the sun. But you cannot estimate prayer power. Prayer is as vast as God because He is behind it. Prayer is as mighty as God because He has committed Himself to answer it. He is committed. He said, if my people who are called by my name will pray. He didn't start that whole thing by saying, I'm going to come and cleanse your land and you'll thank me in prayer. No, He said, until you pray, I'm not going to act. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and confess their sin, turn from their wicked ways and confess their sin, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. What a powerful promise. So God's saying, I'm waiting, man. I'm waiting with bated breath. If you just pray, I'll go, woo, boom, I'm going to bring revival. That's how He set things up. And it's just as sure as gravity. It's just as sure as the sun coming up in the morning. God established this truth long ago that men would pray. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Thank you, Jesus. E.M. Bounds, another great author. Anything by E.M. Bounds is great. E.M. Bounds said this, prayer can do anything God can do. Wow. Think about that statement. See, prayer, number 3, prayer is powerful because of the energy of the one who answers that prayer. Remember, we are petitioning the one that created the worlds, us, our ability to communicate everything. We're petitioning someone that knows the whole thing, knows it from nuts to bolts. Man, he knows the whole thing. He put it together. And when we pray, God says, now I can activate. Just like I activate gravity. Just like I keep the planets apart. Now prayer has become effectual. Now I'm ready to answer. Effectual is energio, where we get our word energy. It's not the arithmetic of our prayers. It's not praying perfectly, how many they are, nor the rhetoric of our prayers, how we pray famous prayers, or how eloquent they may be. Oh, God in heaven. It's not about that. Nor the geometry of our prayers, how long they be. Nor the logic of our prayers, how argumentative they may be. What prayer is, the method of our prayers, how ordered they may be, it is the fervency of spirit which avails much. Sometimes it's just crying out to God, God! You know, God gave us tongues. For those of us who baptize in the Holy Spirit, I hope you are. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, the thing for tongues is not to show up on Sunday morning. You know, it's not to stand beside somebody and pray in tongues. Tongues is an effective way to pray. Because it bypasses this gray matter. See? And when we pray in the Spirit, we pray unctioned by the Holy Ghost. None of our business what we're praying, but we're praying it's powerful prayer. It's turning heaven. It's dispensing angels. It's setting the demon possessed free. It's healing. The prayer of a righteous man avails much. And you do a study on prayer and see what it comes up with on that step. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man. Talk about that kind of prayer. That kind of prayer is prayer that comes right from heaven. It avails much. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly. I love that. The 4th century church, a man called John of Antioch, just listen to what he said. The potency of prayer has subdued the strength of fire. It has bridled the rage of lions, hushed anarchy to rest, extinguished wars, appeased the elements, expelled demons, burst the chains of death, expanded the fates of heaven, assuaged diseases, dispelled frauds, rescued cities from destruction, stayed the sun in its course, and arrested the progress of the thunderbolt. There is in it an all-sufficient Penelope, a treasure undiminished, a mind which is never exhausted, a sky unobscured by clouds, a heaven unruffled by the storm. It is the root, the fountain, the mother of 1,000 blessings. Wow! That man knew something about prayer. In the annals of history, when we get to heaven, we're going to find out how effective or ineffective we were by our prayer life. Corporately, as a church, the church on this planet, we'll seek very clearly as to how effective we were because we prayed. And God wants to use us in partnership of the coming of the Lord by our effectual prayers. The qualification for prayer is a righteous believer. Number 4, the qualification for prayer is being a righteous believer. That's all it is. We confess before the worship this morning, this evening, I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. So I'm righteous because of God. Turn to somebody and say, you righteous. Come on, you are righteous because of God. And so we are qualified to pray. If you're righteous, you're qualified to pray. If you can speak, you're qualified to pray. If you're a child of God, you're qualified to pray. You don't have to ask somebody to pray for you. Although we do, we pray for one another, we pray for our faults, we pray for that. Yes, we pray. But your prayer is powerful, see? It moves heaven. God stands, his attention is drawn toward the man or woman that is praying. He says, I want to listen to that prayer and I intend to answer it. I just don't want to just listen to the prayer. I intend to give all of heaven behind that prayer. And when we begin to pray, our faith gets built up and we begin to ask the impossible, see? Because when true prayer, if you've ever spent any time in prayer, you reach a place in prayer that you begin to ask some things that you never thought you'd ask of God. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with, it has nothing to do with any of that. It's just that God, will you move on? And God begins to answer prayer. Will you move on Uncle Tom? Or will you move on this? And God begins to answer prayer. Why? Because He wants us to know that it works. If I espouse the theory of gravity. If I espouse the theory of gravity and I taught a class on it and then I walked out off a roof and I didn't fall, it wouldn't be much of a theory. It wouldn't be even much of a fact if I could float on air. But no, I teach on it, you know, you can't walk off the end of a building and you fall. Every time it works. Prayer is effective, and when we pray, God wants to show us it's effective. Why am I saying all this? We must be known as a church of prayer in our community. People come in here, they must know us as people that pray. People that love, people that enjoy fellowship, people that worship, people that, yes, but people need to know that we're people of prayer. And answering prayer is something that we expect. The lost will be drawn to those who have effective prayer lives. Where we can actually give account towards where God answered prayer on a consistent basis. How many know that's not only possible, it will happen. It will happen here in this place. It will happen. See, the power of prayer as evidenced by Elijah. Number one, James reminds us that Elijah was a man just like us. He was given to the same passions as us, yet he prayed in the very course of nature, was subject to that prayer. Man, all we need to do is open our mouths and pray. Again, it doesn't need to be eloquent. In fact, probably eloquent is a lack of faith. You're trying to get God's attention with fancy words. God just wants you to speak to Him, that's all.
Amen.
Just wants you to speak to Him. He's waiting. This whole equation of man praying and God responding is what He's waiting for. It's His very nature being released through us as we pray. Thank you, Jesus. What an answer. See, we come together on Friday night. We're fasting and praying because we want to break the bonds of wickedness in our area. We want God to visit us. Not only visit us, but wash us in His presence. That the air would be charged with the presence of God all over our area.
Amen.
Once again. Once again. Yeah, I've been reading passages from past revivals. I just get so hungry. God, I know that You didn't change up on me. I know that the same power that was available in the 40s and the 50s in the 20th century, I know the same thing was available in the 50s and in the 19th century church, the Great Awakening, the Second Great Awakening, the 1700s and the 1800s that shook this nation, the power of God in prayer meetings that was available to those who signed the Declaration of Independence and wrote the Constitution, they were in revival half the time. They were coming from all-night revivals to write what we hold true as a Constitution.
Yes,
those same things, those same deals are available for this generation.
Hallelujah.
God, that You might once again pour Your Spirit upon this land.
Hallelujah.
And I think it's just as simple as going back to our knees. Because see, once you know too much, you don't need to pray. I choose to not know anything. Unless God gives it to me. We're not talking about intelligence. I was with Don Meyer today. Don pastors Church of the Nazarene. And he was asked, he said he was asked to speak at the Rotary Club several years ago. He was president of the school board. So they asked him in to speak to him. And his message was, wisdom is more important than education.
Amen.
President of the school board.
Amen.
Wisdom is more important than education. He said, boy, did he get some looks. But what he was saying is we need the wisdom of God in our generation. Education is, that's easy.
Amen.
Read a book, for Pete's sakes. But the wisdom of God, the hidden secrets of God He wants to unlock. He's got a plan for our area. He's just waiting for us to ask. I couldn't wait for you to ask. Here's the plan. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let me pray this prayer. Pray with me. Lord, I confess before you that I have had longings and nudges from you, which I did not translate in action. I have made decisions without consulting you, then have blamed you when things went wrong. I have said that I trusted you, yet have not turned my affairs over to you. I have been greedy for present delights and pleasures. I'm willing to wait for those joys which time and discipline alone can give. I have often sought the easy way and have consistently drawn back from the road that is hard. I have been fond of giving myself to dreams of which I am going to do sometime, yet have been so slow in getting started to do them. Forgive me for all the intentions that were born and somehow never lived. And now I claim your promise to change me. Do for me what I cannot do for myself. Lead me into a new tomorrow with a new spirit. Cleanse my heart. Create within me new attitudes and new ideas as only you can. Father, we pray tonight. Activate within us a desire born of your spirit. Father, if we need to confess our lack of prayer, we do so tonight. Without condemnation, you are so ready to forgive us. So, Father, for any lack that we've had, please do that. We ask, oh God, for your mercy and grace, and you would forgive us of our failings, our shortcomings, our omissions. But God, we intend with all of our heart to turn our eyes, our heart, our mouth to you. God, we intend to pray and to stand in the gap and to intercede and to ask, oh God, that you move on behalf of this nation, that you move on behalf of our families, our loved ones, our friends, that you move on our behalf, God. God, we claim those things that are promised in your word. We thank you for wisdom and understanding. We thank you for prosperity, God. Lord, we're not a slave to anybody but you. And we're a bond slave to you, Father God. Lord, we pray, we stand in the gap tonight, Lord. Lord, the invincible, the impossible, the altogether evil thing that's happened in our nation is no larger than answered prayer. Father, you answer prayer and you put to flight the enemy. You said that the enemy is defeated, that you put him under your feet, God, and you've put it under the church's feet as well. As we take authority tonight, and I do so, God, as one that is praying tonight, Father, I take authority over the enemy, the lies of the enemy, that even tonight, Lord, in this gathering, has talked to people and said, you're not worthy, you're never going to change, you're never going to be any different, God doesn't care about your prayers. I bind all those lies in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for the authority that you've given every believer. Every believer, God. And Lord, as we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, as we look to you, the God that wants to answer prayer, we ask, oh God. Come on, just begin to ask him for things. Ask him for those impossible things. God, would you move? Lord, would you draw my son, my daughter, Father, to you? Let them be on fire for you again, God. Lord, let the Spirit of God move and have your way in my family, in my extended family, my grandchildren. I confess their hearts are yours, oh God. I confess their salvation in Jesus' name. Oh Lord. Oh Lord, we bless you. We thank you, God. We bless you. We thank you tonight, God, for your answering prayer, for your power that you want to exude on us, that you want to pour out upon us, Father God. Oh God, would you please, would you please, would you please, would you please turn this nation round, God? Begin with our county, begin with our area, that you would turn us around from our sinful ways, God. Lord, we stand in the gap, Father. Please forgive us for the drug abuse. Please forgive us for spousal abuse. Please forgive us for those things, oh God, which have happened, God. We illustrate that by standing in the gap, oh God. Not to us, oh God, but to you belongs righteousness and holiness. Oh, Father God, would you pour out your Spirit, God, in the name of Jesus? Would you pour out your Spirit on this area once again? Saturate this ground with your Spirit, God. Send angels, Lord, round about this area, God. May you expose all the works of the enemy. Expose them in Jesus' name. That rain might come once again from heaven, God. We've been dry for so long, God. Oh, Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God. Oh, let your Holy Spirit move, God, in a powerful way. Holy Spirit, we ask, oh God, Lord, that you wash over us again, oh God. Let you wash over us, Father, cleansing us from all unrighteousness, God, that we stand as those having authority in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
thank you, Lord. And I pray, oh God, I pray for my brothers and sisters tonight, Father, that you might move in a powerful way on their lives, God. That even before the sun comes up in the morning, they'll have answered prayer, God. Lord, that you would build our faith, Father. Lord, once again, shine Jesus in this generation. Thank you, Lord. Lord, may we activate a prayer life that's unmatched by anyone we know. Unmatched. Father, may we be known as men and women of prayer. God, in Jesus' name, move on behalf of your word, Father, that your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth as it already is in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Give you glory and honor. Oh, God. Yes, Lord. Lord, you said if we pray and believe without doubting that we'll have what we ask. For a man that doubts is like the wind tossed to and fro, the waves of the sea. Lord, we resolve to be men and women that know what we want and ask it very clearly and believe, oh God, that you'll do those things. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy towards us. Bless each and every one according to your loving kindness and mercy. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we pray. Whenever you're not eating, pray. You skip a meal, pray. Get your wife, go, get your husband, if you're by yourself, go, get on your knees and pray. Watch what God will do. We're going to have testimonies on Sunday of what God did through prayer. Hallelujah. Don't miss Friday night. It's going to be a wonderful visitation of God. I love you.